And this is the psalm. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. That's in reference to the Passover lamb. I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now there are four things needed here in his healing. Number one, he acknowledged in verse 2 and 3 his transgression and his sin. Sometimes in our hurt and in all those things, it's easy to see the sin of those who sin against us. But it's important always to recognize where we ourselves have failed and sinned in the healing process. As long as we do not see where we ourselves have fallen and sinned, there can be no healing. There are none more blind than those who will not see. And so firstly, he acknowledged his sin. He didn't hide it. He didn't justify it. He didn't try to pass over it. He says, I have sinned. Secondly, he acknowledged what we call the fallen nature of sin within him. He acknowledged his sins, actions. He acknowledged that he had sin in his life. He says in verse 5, my mother in sin conceived me. And deep in my inner parts, he had a sinful nature. So number one, he acknowledged his sin. Number two, he acknowledged his sinful nature. You know, sometimes people acknowledge their sin, but they still say they are righteous. To acknowledge that you have done a wrong thing is different from acknowledging that inside you there is something that makes you do the wrong. See, it takes a brave man or woman to admit, yes, there's something in me that caused me to do the wrong too. So that makes you less righteous in your own eyes. Because sometimes you can see we are righteous in our own eyes and we did the wrong thing accidentally or this and that, but never from our own nature. Because our own nature, you say, we got pride. You say, oh, you know, we are still all right. But it takes a brave man and woman to say, I have sin nature in me still to be dealt with. In other words, say, I am imperfect. It takes a brave man and woman to do that. To say, look, there's something else in me that caused me to do the wrong thing. Some dark part of me that still needs redemption. Admit his sin, admit his sin nature. And the cure for that, the other 2 points. The blood of the Lamb. Wash me with hyssop. The blood of the Lamb can cleanse you from all sin. But you know, you need the second part. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The only way to deal with the sinful nature is the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. So he needed 2 things. He needed to be cleansed, forgiveness, and he needed the Holy Spirit's presence. He says, God, please don't take away the Holy Spirit from me. Because I cannot be holy, righteous without the Holy Spirit. That's a brave man. You know, for all of us, if God should remove the Holy Spirit from every one of us right now, all of us will probably fall into sin. Because in ourselves, we have nothing and we are nothing. It is God in us and God that continues in us that make us righteous or holy. David admits that he needs the Holy Spirit to be in him. Now that ties up with the book of Romans, where we acknowledge sin, we acknowledge the sinful nature, and then we realize we need the blood of the Lamb to cleanse us, and we need the Holy Spirit to be upon us, to keep us free from sin. To put a harness on our sinful nature, until one day when God gives us a new physical body and a perfect soul as we go back to be with Him. These are the keys to David's healing. And as we conclude in these keys to David's healing and apply to our lives, we got only these few words to say. Number one, a lot of the pain that David went through were out of his control. Right? He never created those situations. People around him did. When he lost his first wife, he didn't really want to lose her. Correct? He was persecuted until they were separated. So, a lot of the pain he went through, you know, who to blame? In the end, part of the healing process is to recognize that whatever it happened, whatever has happened, however it happened, and whoever through whom it happened, is no more relevant. It's only relevant that you somehow get healed and move on in your life. So, there's no playing the blame game. You could blame Saul, you could blame this, you could blame that. But in the end, we can't blame circumstances, we can't blame people. Yes, I admit, it's people and circumstances around us, sometimes beyond our control, that puts us in a situation of great pain and grief. But we still can choose how we respond. And with God's help, we pray that as we are healed on the inside, we can respond correctly on the outside. And when we respond correctly, the healing process begins. Secondly, God is bigger than your mistakes. The beautiful thing about David's life is this, and this is very important. Out of his failure with Bathsheba, came forth a beautiful relationship which resulted in a chosen king of Israel. If you ask me, I could not understand that. Because a relationship that was never meant to be, God chose a son through there to rule over Israel. Another case in David's life, which we don't have time to go through, when he numbered the Israelites, and he out of pride, and it was wrong, and he repented, out of that mistake came the chosen place to build a temple. Isn't it interesting that God chose the weakest moments in David's life to establish the most powerful things in the nation of Israel? An heir after him, a place to build a temple, which is prophesied from the time of Moses, but never fulfilled until that time. We can say like Saul, when you look at your life, remember this, God is bigger than all your mistakes. And we'll touch more on this area. There's a whole point to explore here, the bigness of God and how He is in control. But for now, remember the saying of Paul, when I am weak, then am I strong. And God has always chose the weakness of our lives to bring forth the greatest glory of His strength, so that none may glory except in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.